Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 84 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. We've got Saurabh Somani with us today. You can find him at Saurabh_42 at Twitter. And then we've got Jared Kimber as well, who you can find literally everywhere, as always. And just a quick briefing on Crick Picks if you are new to this show. What we do here is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five or at times top six each in a snake style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And sometimes we also combine to create teams, which is kind of what we're doing today. And our attempt will be to create an all-time South African test team post readmission. So basically 92 onwards. And before we get into that, I'd like to remind you guys that these podcasts that we do at Good Areas, they are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/Good Areas Podcast. And then you can slag us off in the chat, enjoy ad-free content, give us recommendations and all that fun stuff. So Saurabh, this was your idea and this is your first ever podcast with me on Good Areas. So there's a cherry you can pop. What made you come up with it, right? All-time South African test team post-admission or readmission, sorry.
What made me come up with it? I don't know. Maybe watching them win the World Test Championship final. I think that's what did it. That, who would be the best South African team post-readmission?
And why do you hate white people and you haven't decided on all South African history?
I
secretly worked for Mugabe. So I was...
It's not even the right country, but I like it.
I was his agent here. I had nothing to do because there's no white or black people here. It's all brown. So,
and you're paying homage to him now that he's dead and everything. One day we'll get like a white supremacist to do readmission all-time South African test team. That's a bit great, right?
That's a bit unfair because I was going to ask Neil Manthorpe and now you've made it feel like he's a white supremacist.
Manthorpe is a great candidate for that. But anyway.
I think Manners would be very good pick for that.
Without further ado, let's kick this off. Jared Kimber, you have first pick.
Callis.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward.
Isn't that it?
Could have gone two separate ways with this, but I like that you've gone Callis.
Could I have gone another way? Isn't he the best?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I had a different first pick, but Callis would have been second. So.
Well, if we're picking a team, don't you pick the best player from the country first? That he's the best player ever from South Africa. So I don't know, even including pre-readmission.
Yeah, that's actually true. I mean, a lot of people, including Ricky Ponting, they make the argument that Jack Callis is the best ever player to play cricket, right?
Yeah.
There are a few of those, even though I disagree with that notion, but I think he's definitely like top five material. You're looking at 13,289 runs in 166 test matches, a batting average of 55 plus and 45 hundreds in the format. So he's what, the fourth highest run scorer and has the second most hundreds, right? And that doesn't even include his 292 wickets at less than 33 apiece.
I'm shocked that either of you didn't have him as your number one.
I had him and another guy who I was confused, between as to
who
my first pick.
I just had him as number two because I liked the guy I had at number one better.
That's not how this works. You either get it right or you never do it again.
Yes, well, that means that I have next pick.
Yeah.
All right, should I go for a bowler? Ah, no, screw it. I'll take AB de Villiers off the table as my first pick.
What?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not, Jared? He'll bat at number five below Callis in this team. This is a guy who also scored 8,765 runs, played 114 test matches. His batting average is 50 plus, not just in test cricket, but I know it doesn't matter for this podcast, but everywhere across the board, 22 hundreds in the format. And what I loved about AB the test cricketer was his versatility. So if I need AB to shut up shop and go on an absolute blockathon, AB can deliver. And if I want him to disrupt and smash the absolute crap out of the opposition team, he can go and do that as well. And whilst I'm pretty sure we shouldn't be making him keep wicket in this team, he at least gives us that option.
I'm absolutely disgusted that he's gone second.
I had AB in my team, but I didn't have him as second pick.
Because you're a normal human being.
Surprising.
Fair enough. I mean, a lot of people in the comments section would be happy with me because we've got a lot of AB fans, don't we?
I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the team. I'm just, second pick seems a bit of a reach. I would have thought the number one and two was absolutely locked in, but you guys have completely thrown me now, so I'm unsure.
All right then, Saurabh, you've got two picks in a row. Clearly the guy that you wanted to pick has not been picked up yet. So please, go ahead.
Has not, yes. Yeah. So number three is Dale Steyn.
What? What is happening here?
No. Jared is not having any of it.
He's South Africa's greatest ever bowler, right?
If only they had someone who was almost as good as him with a ball who could also make test hundreds. I don't know.
That's going to be my second pick. Mm. That's going to be my fourth pick. That's Sean Pollock. Yeah. Nice. So Dale Steyn. No, I just thought Dale Steyn being the best bowler and like all the wickets it took in that batting friendly era, which... I don't know. I think Jared has done a deep dive on it already, you know, but there's no amount of deep dives that... I mean, you can never do enough deep dives on dives on Dale Steyn. So
absolutely.
He would have... So given it's test cricket and he was a beast everywhere. I mean, weirdly, actually, I think in England, he didn't have that much
success. No, he struggled with the Duke's balls. He's talked about that a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah. So, I mean, you would just think that, okay, if a Dale Steyn is coming, England would be where he'll average sub 20 or something like that. But he didn't. And but he was a beast in the subcontinent, in Australia, in South Africa, everywhere. I mean, against all the top batters. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched that battle of his with Sachin Tendulkar in Centurion. That was just one for the ages, absolutely.
I mean, the key point over here is that he bowls in a batting-friendly era throughout, right? And his numbers are exceptional, and he does well in the subcontinent as well. And, you know, like, when I think of that particular generation, he's got to be the best in the world. I don't think anyone really comes close to Dale Steyn. You're talking about 439 wickets in 93 test matches at less than 23 apiece. So I think I don't have Jared's issues with your pick, Saurabh. I think it's a good pick.
And my fourth pick is Sean Pollock, who was as Jared said, almost as good as Steyn and could score test centuries at number 8 and 9, and who actually, I think if Sean Pollock, weirdly, if he had retired like 25 tests earlier than he did, he would have been looked at as absolutely elite. I think his last, like, the 10% or 15% of his career sort of fell off a little, lost pace a little, lost zip and bite a bit. So if he had retired with, like, let's say, you know, that 380 wickets or something when he was near that mark, he would have been really, he would have had a really stunning average and strike rate and everything. And weirdly might have looked at him, you know, rated him higher than we do now when he has 400 plus wickets. But I think he still ends up with an amazing career. So
yeah. And I mean, this guy could potentially bat at 7 in our team as well, right? Potentially.
Yeah.
He could have batted at 7. He just wasn't needed to bat at 7 for them. You are right. Yeah. From 2004 to 2008, he really just starts to struggle. And honestly, his body had gone. And I've talked to him about this. I don't know if you guys know, but Sean Pollock is like a proper cricket fan. He collects memorabilia from around the world, and he has one of the best collections of cricket memorabilia ever. And he does, it's all in his garage. I shouldn't say that in case someone steals it, but I'm pretty sure he said that out loud before. It's all in a hermetically sealed scientific security box somewhere. But
now when there's a robbery at the Pollock household, you guys know who to blame.
Yeah, exactly. But he really is. And I think that's one of the reasons he does go on to play on. But yeah, there's no doubt. Once his body went, which is, I think, in around 2003, 2004, he really was never that player again, which is a real shame. But, you know, peak Sean Pollock could bowl, 92, 93 miles an hour, could swing it, was accurate, and could have batted at 7 in most teams in the world. I mean, I don't think Pollock is a worse batter than Ravi Jadeja, right? Different kind of player, very different kind of player. But I don't think he's worse. Like, I think he, you know, would have ended up in that. But because he bats further down the order and he often was sent in to slog and to hit in different situations, he's probably ended up averaging around 32, 33.
He did, right?
You know, he missed out on a test century because that Mike Dennis test with India, he hit 100 there. And that's counted as a first-class match and not a test match.
Didn't he play an incredible innings in like an ODI World 11 type situation as well that also doesn't count in one of his...
That Super Series in Australia.
Was it? No, I thought there was another one that he did. No. I thought there was two games where he didn't actually get to do it.
Is he the best player of cricket games which weren't counted? Is that what you guys guys are saying. Is he the king of those, right? Red hair Pollock, right? There are two different Sean Pollocks.
Yeah.
And if you guys remember, or anyone who's watching this or listening to this remembers red hair Pollock, that guy's a different beast altogether. And despite slowing down or, you know, not being as successful in his last 4 years or whatever, he ends up with 421 wickets in 108 test matches. His bowling average is still 23. And he scored his runs in test cricket at an average of 32 plus with the bat. It's an average differential of over 9. And I'm a big guy when it comes to, or I'm a big on average differential. So I rate him very, very highly. And I think you've done all right over here. Varun would be
average
proud.
Differential, I just want to add, average differential is a whole different beast when it's 32 and 23 versus, you know, 42 and 33. 32 and 23 is an elite all-time guy. 42 and 33 is a good player, but he's not like an elite all-time guy because
that's
the bowling average matters so much. Yeah.
Very, very true, because the bowling average is in the low 20s, right? So, yeah, I would just want to say that Varun, who you have replaced in Crick Picks today, Saurabh, would be very proud of your picks. He's a fast bowler guy and you've picked up two of South Africa's finest. I mean, if you combine Pollock and Steyn's wickets in test cricket, that's what, 960 wickets?
800 and something. Yeah,
860 wickets. Yeah. That is insane.
I can tell you guys this, that I put in ChatGPT, what is your best 11 for South Africa since readmission, and he didn't make their 11.
Oh, well then, AI clearly doesn't know things.
Which I was a bit like, as I said,
are safe for now.
I thought number one and two was pretty solid, but apparently AI and everyone else disagrees with me.
Anyway, we are not ChatGPT. This is very much human faces, and we're not like some sort of mega software. But anyway, it's back to me. And I think the next pick is straightforward. I'll go with an opening batter, one of the finest that the game has ever seen, I would say, in Graham Smith. Left-hander, opening batter, also an exceptional captain and slip fielder, right? Very recently picked him up in the slip fielder's Quick Picks podcast. And he scored, what, 9,265 runs in 117 test matches. He averaged 48-plus, playing his home cricket in South Africa as an opening batter, and has scored 2,700s. And he's probably captaining this team as well. I think it's a straightforward pick. And Biff, I mean, I think he's one of the all-time greats from South Africa. I rate him very, very highly.
Yeah, no, I mean, no issues there. The second opener position can be a bit more flexible, but the first one, I think, is obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's back to you now, Jared. You've got two picks in a row.
Yeah, I'll go Hashim Amla next and slot him in at first drop. And I will go, I will go Rabada as my next pick.
Fair enough. I mean,
Steyn, Pollock, Rabada.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another guy who could potentially get in there, maybe as 12th or maybe
there
in the
is,
starting
11. There is.
Right? But I mean, Amla and Rabada picked themselves. Hashim Amla, proper number three bat, right? 9,282 runs, so slightly more than Graham Smith, but he's also played 124 test matches. His average is 46.6, so it drops a bit towards the end of his career, right? He's averaging 50 plus for a while, and then he has a dip towards the end of his career.
He had a terrible start to his career and a terrible end to his career, which is why he doesn't average 50.
But
if you look at his peak, it's up there with a sort of, it's not quite a sort of Ricky Ponting or Virat level, but it's within, it's the same kind of shape of peak as those two guys have, right? So, and they also don't have a lot of other double number threes, right? Like, the secondary option.
He was the obvious.
Yeah, secondary option is not particularly, is it Vian Mulder?
Yeah, I suppose so. He's got a triple, right? And speaking of triples, you know, Amla scores 2,800s in that peak. And the most memorable one is probably the 311 not out at the Oval, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all remember it very, very vividly.
Wasn't that also the test match that Morne Monkel accidentally leaked the messages from KP?
I believe so.
So I remember that test match slightly differently, despite the fact I was there for that game. and then Rabada, obviously the other seamer. I think they both fit in the 12, him and the secondary seamer. But there's also, there's another two all-rounders who can bowl more seam if we needed that flexibility for later. But I think Rabada's done enough to at least be on the level, if not slightly ahead of the other seamer, whose name I haven't mentioned yet, who also rate very highly.
some people would make a case that Rabada should have been picked up early in this draft, right? Because he's currently standing at 336 wickets in 71 test matches. His average, bowling average, is less than 22. So that's phenomenal. But the big Rabada stat, as we always mention at Good Areas, is the strike rate. It's below 39. And it's the best strike rate for any bowler in test match history who has at least 113 wickets. Because Lohman is at 112. Yeah, and Lohman's strike rate is ridiculous.
I think if you do adjusted strike rate, the other bowler who we haven't mentioned is pretty close to him as well. So they're not. I think Wacker beats them both, and then I think those other two guys are there. But it is worth remembering that every South African bowler has a great strike rate, right? Like almost all of these guys do. So at a certain point, I think you just have to almost pick your favorite. And because he hasn't finished his career, I don't think he's ahead of Steyn, and he can't bat like Pollock. So I think between him and the other dude is very fair.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm happy he's gotten picked
up. And he's also bowled in that in the pace playing pandemic, right? So that has helped his numbers a little bit.
It most definitely has helped him, right? So I mean,
it doesn't mean he's not great, of course, but
No, but I am completely, you know, at peace with that rationale that you picked Steyn and Pollock ahead of Rabada, and he deserves to be in this team as well, even if he hasn't finished his career. Anyway, it's back to me, but before that, we shall be taking a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Behram, Jared and Saurabh, and we'll be back in half a minute, so go nowhere.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
Welcome back to the Crick Picks podcast. You guys are with Jared, Behram and Saurabh, who are currently attempting to create an all-time South African test team post-readmission. And we've got 5 spots left now. It's a bit tricky where to go from here. I think I'm just going to make my life easier and we can then figure out what sort of playing 11 we field later. And I'm going to pick up White Lightning, Alan Donald. I feel like it would be a grave injustice if he goes unpicked in this team, right? He's almost as good as, or maybe even better than Rabada, as Jared said, you know, in terms of adjusted strike rate and everything. But you look at his record and his 330 wickets in 72 test matches at just over 22 apiece. And, you know, post-readmission, he is the face of South Africa's fast bowling alongside Sean Pollock. He's the guy who everyone is fearing. Yes, he can't score hundreds or even take crucial singles and semi-finals of Cricket World Cups, but he was quality.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was absolute quality.
It wasn't his fault. Yeah, I mean, clues the soldier down the river there, let's be honest. I mean, although, to be fair, Donald did try and get himself run out the ball before, didn't he?
Yeah, the ball before, yeah.
I was actually talking to Neil Manthorpe about this recently of, like, how much longer can his nickname stick around, right? Because White Lightning is a phrase they use in South Africa, and it's a very particular kind of lightning, and it makes sense and everything else. But in a country where everything is so, you know, racially sensitive, it's a weird one. Look, he deserves to be in this 12. There's a couple of bowlers who are really, you just can't fit them in. I think he's a little bit more complete than the other 2 or 3 bowlers who also deserve a shot.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to that 12th player, we can always kind of figure this out because I feel that Pollock can be a very good batter at 7, which gives us a bit flexibility, right? We could go for 4 frontline bowlers if we really want to. There is one other guy who bowls really well and has some really good numbers with the bat. I mean, there are options. We've got options, fellas. And we're back to Saurabh now for his final 2 picks.
You just said the face of South African cricket. No, he was literally that. I mean, that zinc cream that he had, all of us would have tried to sort of, you know, copy that.
I did the Craig McDermott
watching
version.
Alan Donald Boone.
Yeah, the yellow one?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, now we've got the Nassim Shah version as well, where he's got like neon green on his face. So, few versions, I suppose.
But and as soon as you said you're going to make your life easier, I knew that's where you're going. So, that makes mine. So my
plus,
first
sorry,
pick.
Before you go with your 2 picks, out of all of these 4 seamers that we've picked, Pollock, Steyn, Donald and Rabada, do we have consensus over the fact, I would say, at least for me, even though it's subjective, that Donald has the best bowling action?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think
it's tough. People love Steyn's bowling action, right?
I love Steyn's bowling action, but Donald was like the original, you know, he was basically that single malt bowling, you know, it's just so smooth.
Fair enough. Anyway, now you may go ahead and pick your last two picks, Saurabh. Don't fuck up.
Yeah, so I'll pick, I might, I'll pick the spinner first. I think you need one spinner in this team.
Yeah.
So the guy I'm going for is Keshav Maharaj.
Hmm.
I think it is fairly obvious
that
he should be the guy. Although I did toy with the idea of going a little rogue and picking Simon Harmer, you know, but he's just played 10
tests. This is not an all-time Essex team, Saurabh.
I cannot believe that you would do Paul Harris like this.
or Nicky Boye.
Oh, Nicky Boye.
Nicky Boye, yeah. Pat Simcox.
Oh, wow.
But Keshav Maharaj is my spinner's pick. I think, like, if you just look at it, there's really no other candidate that stands out as much as he does.
Yep.
Maybe Imran Tahir was one.
Not in test matches.
But not in test cricket. Yeah, not in test matches.
But like, if you think about it, Keshav Maharaj only gets into the post-readmission team. You've got so many options pre-readmission, right?
Yeah.
Jared would have already picked up Aubrey Faulkner. And then you had Hugh Tayfield, is it, Jared?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you've got two or three different guys that you could have brought in. Whereas now it's a lot different. Do you guys know what Nicky Boye's test bowling average was, by the way? Just off the
43?
Top of your head. Yeah.
Really?
I was also going to say 43.
That's
what, really?
I remember Nicky Boye more for his clutch batting knocks, honestly. And it was a funky action, I will say.
And
this.
He was a good fielder too, I think, Nicky Boye.
They're all good fielders.
Nicky Boye?
That's what, he was literally Derek picked Crooks, because he was a good fielder.
Your favorite guy, Derek Crooks.
We have to stop mentioning poor Derek Crooks before like his family put out an order against me.
Please and desist.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as Kesh is concerned, he's also World Test champion now. And look, he is what, the first South African spinner to get to 200 test wickets. He's got 203 now in 59 test matches. And, you know, for a finger spinner, Jared always mentions this. I know he's a slow left armer, but for those types of bowlers to have a bowling average in test cricket below 30, right? That is quite special, and that's what Maharaj has. And he is no mug with the bat either. So if you've got a number eight position, kind of you're unsure about it, Maharaj can be your number eight.
He's not a terrible number eight.
Yeah, I would say that as well.
So,
all right then. Final pick, Saurabh. I know you're stalling. You're buying yourself time.
Now it gets tricky because now we need another opener, and we probably need a wicketkeeper and an opener. We definitely
need. We don't need a wicketkeeper if we don't want a wicketkeeper.
Yes.
Are we really going to make AB keep?
We could.
Okay.
We have the option.
I'll leave that to you guys.
I'm not saying we're going to do that. I'm just saying that there is an option if we wanted to do that.
Also, if you do want to pick a wicketkeeper, you could pick the wrong one and completely fuck our team over. Right? Like, there's always that possibility.
There is. No, but I'm also following Behram's lead and making my life as easy as possible. So I'll leave the wicketkeeper to you guys.
Okay.
I'll go for the other opener. So I thought a little bit about this. I had, like, you know, basically there were two guys who I had to pick between. Three guys, actually.
For me, there was two.
Gary Kirsten. There was two?
Yeah, what was
I had Gary Kirsten, Dean Elgar, and Herschel Gibbs.
I didn't have Elgar.
Okay.
Really?
So I'm...
Yeah, I had Gibbs and Kirsten, and then I weighed them, you know, against each other, and I picked one. Let's see where he goes with this.
No, so I'm picking Herschel Gibbs.
Oh!
I'm hoping he doesn't drop the ball early while celebrating. But I'm just picking him because I think, like, you know, he brings a sort of different element to this batting lineup. Like, when you have Graham Smith, Jacques Kallis, Hashim Amla in the top four, maybe you need a sort of a Herschel Gibbs sort of player there rather than a Dean Elgar or Gary Kirsten, who are more like staid. So that was my only reason. I didn't have a strong reason for excluding either of them. So it's just more flair. That's why Herschel Gibbs.
And he was
the most truthful in his autobiography, you know, which he gives some points for.
Well, some people don't get along with him. But it's really, really fascinating that you've gone with Gibbs, because I agree with you as far as flair is concerned. But I personally feel that you've got free-flowing bats in Graham Smith and Hashim Amla, right?
Smith isn't free-flowing. What's free-flowing about Smith?
He's good. He's good with the straight bat, isn't he? The way he kind of comes
he
down
never
slightly.
Hit, what straight bat? He hit everything the square leg. What the fuck are you talking about?
His favorite shot was like that noodle thing.
Yeah, dragging the ball from outside off stump to backward square leg. He was like a big awkward bear version of Steve Smith.
Big awkward bear version of Steve Smith is great. Look, I thought Gary probably got ahead of Gibbs because he's averaging 45 plus as an opener.
Okay.
Right?
What's Gibbs averaging as an opener?
What is he, 43?
47.
Really?
No, 47, 48, yeah.
Really? Like that. Yeah. He's okay. Averaging 47, 48? Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected. You win.
When we looked at our book and we were putting players in, Gibbs wasn't that far off from getting in because a lot of the batters in our book got a boost if they opened, right? Because that's the hardest spot to bat. And his record opening is so ridiculous that it almost sways his argument to be in one of the best batters of all time. The problem is he never made any runs when not opening. All he needed to be was average away from opening, and he ends up as a legend. And it's really interesting. He in 68 test matches, he makes 14 hundreds opening, right? But I don't think he makes another 100 when not opening. Like, it's literally all the runs in the world or no other runs. Kirsten, when we did the bare numbers, Kirsten was actually ranked in the top 50. And I was like, let's have a look. But Kirsten basically averages 42 to 44 everywhere, right? Like he is so consistent. He's a bit like a Chris Rogers who played his whole career, right? Like if you want a more modern comp for Kirsten. But he wasn't fantastic. Elgar's interesting only because Elgar's numbers hold up for a couple of years in the pace playing pandemic. And then eventually people work out what to do. And he drops off so tragically at the end. But also I'm pretty sure with Elgar, he only ever made runs at home. He never made runs on the road. Whereas Gibbs, 32 test matches away from home as an opener and averages 48 in those, right? Like he averaged, where is it? He struggles in Asia. I think he averages like 30 in Asia, but he averages 50 in England, 50 across Australia and New Zealand, and 50 in West Indies as well. Like Gibbs's numbers actually hold up remarkably well. So I would say he was going to be my choice as well.
So yeah, this is what I did wrong
Yes,
correct.
Yeah, you have, because when I was comparing the stats, I never went down to batting positions, right? I saw 41.95 and I was like, okay, you know, you get more grit with Kirsten. He's not going to throw away his wicket, so I'll go with him. But if I look at Gibbs as opener, right, he is well over 45. First position is 44.41 and then 48.31 in his second position. So yeah, I mean, you have made the right call. And like I said, I stand corrected. All right,
reason I also considered Elgar was because of the pace playing pandemic, but then he was the third choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the third choice there.
Yeah, he's the even grittier option, isn't he? Like it's taking it to a next level.
But you do get 3 or 4 overs per year of left arm finger spins. So you gotta weigh these things up.
That's true. Yeah.
All right then. We need a 12th man and a keeper.
We have a 12th man at the moment. Do you want me to read out the 11? As it currently stands, we have a 12th man.
Yes, please.
We have Smith, Gibbs, Amla, Callis, AB as 1 through 5. I've got Sean Pollock listed at 7. And then we have Maharaj, Steyn, Rabada and Donald at 9, 10, 11, 12. Right? So we don't have anyone but at 8 or 6 at the moment. So we probably need another specialist batter, or we need another all-rounder, or we need another keeper. Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
All right, so you can go ahead and make that decision then with respect to the wicketkeeper. I'll leave that for you. I want to pick this player because I personally rate him very highly and I feel like he's not quite an all-rounder. But like, if you have him at 8, then your batting depth is actually quite healthy because this guy has 8 test 50s. So yeah, give me Big Vern. I think
what?
That... Yeah,
we don't need Vern and Philander in this side. Okay. What are you doing?
Why not? Why, we've got a wobble ball bowler now.
We've got
need that.
We've got 4 seamers already. How are we even going to give him a bowl?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's obviously going
and
to
we have got Callis. We have got 4 seamers and Jacques Callis.
We do have Jacques Callis. Thing is that obviously, if Big Vern plays, then one of the other bowlers goes out. And I just thought that giving us another option with respect to a type of seamer kind of elevates our team.
Yeah, we're really going to struggle with new ball bowlers with only Steyn, yeah. Rabada and Donald to pick, Pollock to pick from. I mean, what are we talking about here? You didn't even go first change bowler. A first change bowler would have given us something if you picked Mornay, right? Or Antini.
That's what I thought you were going.
Mornay or Antini makes more sense here.
You want me to take it back? I'll just pick a keeper.
No, you can't take it back. You've put a shit position in.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
you have to fucking live with it.
All right, I'll live with that. Maybe not my best work, but look, he's you know, taken 224 wickets in Test cricket at a bowling average of 222.
No one's saying he can't play cricket, Bairam. Don't try and justify your bad decision.
His average differential is in the positive. He's averaging 24 with a bat, Jared. I'm just fine with it.
Just to say that, just so, in case you weren't aware, Faf du Plessis, Brian McMillan, Lance Kluzdo, all available.
Well, you go ahead and pick one of those.
I can't pick one of them now because we'll have nine seamers in the side. You've literally stitched up one of these other guys completely. So now I have to pick. Yeah. I don't even know what to do now because your side is so cack-handed.
If you want to go completely rogue, just pick a guy for this being the 12th man. So you just pick the
this is the 12th.
Fielder.
We can't,
the
no.
guy can play.
Yeah, well, I already had Alan Donald down as the 12th because I thought there's no way we would pick any more seed. I suppose we need a specialist batter now, and if we're gonna, and we need someone who's gonna bat at number 6. So,
and do you want a keeper or you'll?
I don't know if we can fit a keeper in now with Philander and everyone else, because if we do that, Pollock or the keeper has to bat 6. So there's no keeper that they have is good enough to bat at 6 unless you pick the kid who's played a couple of test matches now. Or I suppose you go Quinton de Kock, can't you?
No, Quinton is there, yeah.
You can get Quinton if you want to.
So my 12th player is out of either Daryl Cullinan or Quinton de Kock. What have we got here? We've got left hand. Yeah, let's go left hander then. I'll go at 6, I'll go Quinton de Kock.
It's not a terrible record, you know, de Kock.
No, he's a good player. I'm not sure I wanted him at 6, but I don't know what else to do with this cack-handed 11 we've ended up with.
Hey, they're taking 25 wickets, not 20. They'll take 5 extra.
I love in this team, Vernon Philander literally just bowls a 12-over spell and then hits the pub.
Yeah, basically.
Vernon Philander is the 12th man every time, I think, in this team.
He's the 13th man, right? So yeah, of course he has to be the 12th man.
I mean, look, if you want a wee bit more batting, you have him in ahead of the other seamers. Whichever one's your pick, apart from Pollock,
You don't need batting with that kind of bowling attack and with that top 5.
Yeah, but if he picks McMillan or Klusner, then you have incredible flexibility in this side and you can do whatever you want, right? You can bat to like 8 or 9, whereas we've been robbed of that. With this,
I should have just picked up Quinton de Kock because I did have him in my mind, and I was like, ah, man, that pressure of picking up a wicketkeeper with AB already in the team. And de Kock's numbers are very good, by the way. Like in 54 test matches, he has 3,300 runs, and his batting average is like just below 39. So he retired early. Who's to say he wouldn't have better numbers?
ChatGPT picked Boucher, and I just don't think there's any situation where you could. I don't think Boucher was that good a wicketkeeper, as I've said a million times on Crick Picks alone. There was no. Just in case anyone was aware, there was absolutely no. I would have gone out of my way to not pick Boucher in this if I had to. but I think de Kock makes sense. I have no problem with de Villiers wicketkeeping, although I'm pretty sure when he kept in that 13-14 series against Australia, and I think he might have got hit in the face with one ball because the ball just went straight through his gloves into his face. He wasn't quite the great wicketkeeper from that point of view. But yeah, I think Cullinan is unlucky and Faf is probably unlucky. They both also could have been specialist number 6 in a side like this.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I had a rogue pick as 12th man if I had got it. Like, I would have picked Jaunty Rhodes just to come and field.
I would have picked Derek Crooks.
If he's not going to be in the 11. Yeah. Or Derek Crooks.
Take a shot every time we mention Derek Crooks on Crick Picks, right?
I don't think it matters, though. If you've got Herschel Gibbs in the side, you've already, and de Villiers, although you don't have Faf. Yeah, you could have Faf or Jaunty as 12th. If we didn't pick 93 seamers, right?
Hey, you know, here's a thought. You don't play Maharaj on seam-friendly surfaces, and then you've got like a pace attack from hell.
Yeah, but you can't use them all because you've got too many of them. okay, here's a fun one. Does KP get in the side at six? I think he does.
I mean,
I think if you had AB, I think if you had AB and that position comes up, I pick KP. But I don't think Wagner gets in. Right, I think Wagner's probably a step behind.
Wagner.
But if you want just people born in South Africa as well, you would probably take Pryor over Quinton de Kock as well, right? A slightly better wicketkeeper and a slightly better batter on his record. I think they're about the same at batting. But
And just to have KP and Pryor in the same team again and all the masala.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I commentated with both of them when they were both in the same commentary team. Anyway, that's for another day.
Well,
Anyway, it was all great, going great till I fucked up the draft. That's the story.
I don't
of
understand
the day.
Why you did that. It's just so weird.
He's basically turned Vernon into, you know, what Shardul Thakur was doing in the India England Test series, a specialist number eight who bowls like just to give the seamers rest and to change the ends or something.
Are we all Shardul coded now that every decision we make in our life has to be through the vent of where we put the Lord in?
Yeah. Anyway, what's our team looking like, Jared, and what are our picks?
Well, our picks are, I went Kellis, Amla, Rabada, de Kock. You went AB, Smith, Donald, Philander. And Saurabh went Steyn, Pollock, Maharaj, and Herschel. And the team is Graham Smith, Herschel Gibbs, Amla, Kellis, De Villiers, de Kock, Pollock, Maharaj, Steyn, Rabada, Donald, Philander. The worst 12th man as well. Just like in a country of great fielders, just a bloke who just could, like, can you imagine? You're like, can we get some gloves out? And Vernon's like, oh, sorry, I'm busy. I'll be out in a little while.
I could see the agony on your face when you read out his name in this 12. But
anyway. I love, you've made me sound like I don't love Vernon Philander, which I absolutely do. It's just a terrible choice for this side.
Anyway, that wraps up this episode. So do let us know in the comment section who we missed, what we should have done differently, why I suck, and all of those reasons, right? And yeah, just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be a one-stop shop for you with respect to all of the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And also, all of our podcasts are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content. You can tell me personally, exclusively in the chat, that Behram, you should not have picked Vernon Philander. And, you know, other fun stuff as well. But yeah, that's all for now. We'll be back next week with another episode of Crick Picks. Have a good one, folks, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Behram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.